Hey, everybody. It's Pittsburgh Comics Podcast, number 213. And I'm not Colin McMahon, the owner of Pittsburgh Comics.
Who are you, imposter?
I am Dave, filling in for Colin
tonight. We're being held hostage.
I'm Dave.
When you're at the main seat, say your last name, too.
Dave Marinick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's important.
And Colin is off at the Who concert tonight.
The Who?
Exactly. No. He's on first.
He said it's very weird to be at a concert with so many old people, but he is an old person.
So we did ask Colin to get us tickets for the concert so we can broadcast from...
Live from the Who.
From the Who, but obviously that didn't happen.
Be a lot of, and what?
And I was thinking it's probably for the better because I didn't want to have to ask them to pause Teenage Wasteland so we could hear Pat's News.
Yeah, that'd be messed up.
That's actually lead-in for Pat's News.
Well, let's introduce who's here with me tonight.
Oh. Josh.
Pat.
Adam.
That's at least right. Everybody else is here. At least everybody else is here. Except
you said the podcast number, right?
Yeah.
214, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're getting out next week's too. Just being efficient.
This is a double issue.
We're gonna pause in the middle, read all of our books, and then redo.
Is this a harder job than you thought it was gonna be?
Calling it your one wall.
Yes.
What are you guys doing here?
Colin's had years of experience doing this intro, I guess.
I know.
He's on for the intro, then he zones out. Do you have your doodle pad ready?
That's what I was looking for. I don't.
Are they really doodles? They're like little squares.
Geometric
exact
shapes.
Same doodle every time.
Yeah.
He's not very creative. Not creative at all.
He's just creative enough to draw, but not enough to draw something.
He's working
different.
Out problems in his head.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of problems to work out then. A lot of shapes being drawn.
We're getting this all out of our system. And then we mentioned he was old. Oh, wait, no, he didn't.
He likes brisket.
Oh, yeah. That's all right. So
he's having a lot of fun with his son. This is his son's first concert, so he said he's trying to win Father of the Year award by making his first concert The Who.
Deck better like The Who.
That'd be awful if he didn't.
I know.
Like, Deck loves CSI, so I imagine I'll like the concert.
<He's> like, that's all it
he's
is.
He's going to be like, they're singing that song from CSI.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the CSI people.
If my son said that, I'd actually die a little inside.
You'd have to. I'm sure he actually, without joking, was like, The Who? Yeah.
He was very worried about getting down there on time with traffic.
Yeah.
But he reported in that everything was fine. True. They were at their seats half hour ahead of time. Deck got a t-shirt. 15-minute wait in line. T-shirt cost $40.
Oh, crud.
Yikes.
That's awful.
Man, Adam went for the bootleg.
Yeah. But just get a permanent marker and a white shirt right there.
Put a question mark on it.
Cross out doctor.
Oh, so what's in the news, Pat?
Well, we'll start with one word. Underoos.
All right.
So
what are you wearing, Adam?
That's exactly what I'm wearing.
I totally geeked out at that, and I'm almost embarrassed to say so, but when that happened in the Civil War trailer, I lost it. I was like, that was perfect the way they introduced him.
Yeah.
I love the costume, especially around the eyes. I know people have kind of complained about that.
It kind of has a classic feel to it, but also a little bit of a modern feel to it with the
black stripes on the arms.
That,
yeah,
yeah, that's what I was telling people.
I mean, I was excited for the movie. The trailer itself didn't blow me away. Nah. I thought it was very slower paced. It was more...
That's weird to say that, because that was the first one that actually got me excited for the movie, that trailer.
Were you excited before Spider-Man showed up on screen?
Yeah, I was excited, because I liked Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah, no, I did like it. Yeah, that was a good moment, too. Yeah.
And Hawkeye's arrow, because that was like one of the first issues of Avengers I got. It's that awesome cover with with Hawkeye and Ant-Man. And I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, too. But just, you know, the arrival of Spider-Man and the way they did it was perfect.
Yeah.
I have to interrupt your news for a second. We forgot to say something. At some point during the podcast, we're going to give you a code word or a phrase. And if you say that code word to Colin when you come in the store from Thursday to Wednesday or Thursday to Tuesday,
yeah,
right? It won't count on New Comic Book Day.
No.
Okay. So from Thursday the 17th, so from St. Patrick's Day up to Tuesday the 24th. Wow, a bunch of idiots here. We can't.
What's today's date? That's my problem.
Well, today's the 16th. Yeah, today's the 16th. So 22nd, Tuesday, 22nd.
That's right.
All right. We're not. What that out?
Yeah.
So from the 17th to the 22nd, the code word will be active. We'll give more details when we say the code word. But listen,
it'll be a surprise.
Somewhere in the podcast,
it might be out of nowhere.
We don't even know where yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It'd just be. It's right here now.
I didn't interrupt, but didn't you see we wanted to say it in the beginning, and then that way...
We forgot. Dave did such a good job, and then I got lost in all of it.
Sorry I mesmerized you.
It was just too well...
Voice of an angel.
It was It was so different than usual. Usually it's crabby and... Rah, rah, rah.
Dope and spirit.
Yeah. Moxie. It was just like we were all set. Moxie. We wanted to follow him. And, you know, and...
We were inspired by his leadership.
Go home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, it'll be a surprise code word, so... Keep listening.
Netflix, the Luke Cage series is actually going to debut at the end of September.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Mike Coulter, who plays Luke Cage, I guess did an interview. He said it's going to be September 30th.
He did a good job. I really do think he did a good job playing Luke Cage.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think he's going to show up in Punisher. Or in Daredevil.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I keep thinking it's a Punisher show because he keeps featuring in all the advertising for it. But that's, you know, that's this Friday, so...
That's awesome.
By Saturday, we'll know.
Yep.
Just binge watch.
I'm binge watching that show.
I binge watched it last.
I feel like I got through... Like, Daredevil took me a while to get through the last time, but Alias, or Jessica Jones, I went through...
Does Daredevil come out this Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's perfect, because Adele's gone for the weekend, Debbie's gone Saturday night. Oh, man, no one there to judge.
We were talking before, Pee-wee's Big Holiday comes out the same day.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't care less. Couldn't care less.
Oh, yeah. But he's going on vacation. Who knows what hijinks he'll get into?
Maybe Pateri shows up and Cherry. Yeah. You never know.
Maybe go to a theater and do little things in the dark. Oh, wait, here he did that.
Why judge a man?
Yeah.
It's not like he did it.
Did I judge?
Okay.
Did I judge?
There sounded like judgment in your voice.
It's my default voice pattern.
Okay. You're just critical
don't judge,
of everybody.
Don't judge my voice, Matt.
I'm a-hole by default.
No, that's okay. I'm just, you know, it's not like
you
did it.
You should appreciate that.
No, I do, but it's not like you went to see, you know, a kid's movie and did it. No, porno theater. Let the guy go. Whatever.
I feel like even if you go to a theater that specializes in porn, you still shouldn't be doing that in the seats.
Okay.
Were they leather seats? Were they cloth seats?
I understand that, but one is very egregious, and one is like, come on, man.
Assuming you went to a porn theater. I'm not saying you would, but assuming you did.
Yeah.
And you looked too
We're
seats
so
you,
far off track.
I'm sorry, Colin.
And you look two seats down from you, and you see Adam doing
that. What am I being pulled into that? Right.
I'm sorry. You see Pee Wee Herman doing that. Do you just look at him and say, "Oh, come on, man," or do you kind of like get upset and get up and leave?
No, I don't think I do.
I feel like in the moment, that's not an, "Oh, come on."
Here's
that's
the thing.
What the hell are you doing?
If you're in that situation and you're in that theater, I mean, you gotta have to expect something ridiculous like a curse is gonna be going.
Yeah,
on.
That's just it. Like, you don't go to those theaters to say, you know, you're not like a porn critic. You're taking notes.
No, but
I can't believe that that took like, place in here.
Have some respect for the work on the screen.
There he is. You're going to that for some enjoyment. And I think that that would really take you out of the enjoyment, take you out of the movie.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to take me out of the movie.
So you're saying that if that was happening, two seats
why
out
am I
you,
paying attention to that?
I can hear it.
Okay. We're so far off track. I'm not paying attention to that. Like, I don't pay attention to that if I go to a regular movie. If people are talking, playing on their phone, whatever, I don't pay attention. I'm paying attention to the movie.
So, well, Pat's different. When Pat goes to the porn theater, he's really in the zone. But
well, you gotta wear blinders. Don't judge me.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, moving
Pat's
on.
News. What's happening?
I don't know what happened.
We never got explicit, though.
That's true. That's we true. Didn't. Yeah. We didn't.
That was actually my fault. I brought up the movie.
Yeah, you did. Great job.
Sorry. Sorry, everybody.
Anyway. So moving on. Yeah.
I'm like seeing in my head the look on Colin's face that's been happening.
He's just like,
no.
No. Until we listen to this episode and find out he edited out that entire block.
Oh, he might.
Without saying anything to us.
Yeah. Should have made it really difficult. We should just start talking about comics. And back to the subject about Pee Wee Herman.
We should have the code word.
He would be like, yeah, that sales.
He would never let us do this unsupervised again.
No.
Anyway.
Back to Pat's news.
Yeah. So, Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and iZombie all got renewed for another season. I don't think there was really a chance that Arrow, Flash, and iZombie weren't going to get it, but I think Legends of Tomorrow was kind of iffy just because of the cost of production on that one. Mm-hmm. And it's I think it's gotten better. The first couple episodes were a little iffy, but it's done better.
The only show that's still like up in the air is Carter, right?
Yeah, and I think part of that is Haley Atwell actually she's doing a pilot for ABC for something else.
But they said that the filming would work out so that way she could do.
Yeah, I thought they finally did renew that though.
No, they renewed Shield. They
it's
said
hard
that there's
to tell anymore because there's so many rumor sites out there that what, you can never.
The last thing I read, and I think it was actually on Entertainment Weekly, one of the guys from ABC said we're talking about it. Yeah. So like they want to do it, but. You know, it may come down to costs and everything else. The guy that plays Howard Stark is in Preacher now.
Oh, yeah.
So they may not be able to get everybody.
He's in the show, though.
That's true, but I think you have to have him in the show
at some
point. Yeah, but I think
he's in, like, two episodes this season, maybe three.
It could be.
I've liked that show better, though, than S.H.I.E.L.D.
The show's great.
Yeah,
it
really is.
It's a really good show.
They've had to hire a good cast for it.
The only thing...
The bad guy from RoboCop, like... Was the dad from that
Red Foreman. Yeah, no Red matter Foreman, what he's in, every those line he says at the end, I just want to go, dumbass.
Yeah.
Because that's like, and no matter what it is. I didn't like the, I guess it was in the last episode where they had the singing, dancing thing. Where she was like hallucinating. She wasn't hallucinating. She got knocked out. I thought
I
that was.
It was a dream sequence.
Yeah, but I thought that was a little out of place with the tone of the rest of the show. But other than that.
Yeah, I can chalk up to that they said, oh, let's do something fun here since we have the opportunity.
That's what I thought, too.
And it's not like they abuse it, so.
No, that's true. Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy are going to reprise their roles as Batman and the Joker and the Killing Joke.
I thought that was already a done deal thing.
I don't think it was official.
No, I don't think it was either. I thought Mark Hamill was official, but not Kevin Conroy.
Last
week. Yeah, that's right. Kevin Conroy was not.
Last week, for the first time ever, I finally read the Killing Joke.
Did you?
Yeah, I never read it. I really enjoyed it.
I liked it, too.
And it was the
you have to listen
edition.
To Grant Morrison's.
I have listened
have
to
you listened
it.
To
yeah,
that?
I have listened to it.
Where
the
he's just
Batman
like,
Batman?
He kills him at the end.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wait, what? Like, and even Kevin Smith
right.
on that.
And then when
that.
You look at it, you're like,
then you go
yeah,
back.
He
I
did.
Reread that book, and I was like, he did. He totally killed him at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was a deluxe edition with Brian Bolan went back and recolored.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, I
have that. Oh, by the way, spoiler for, what, a 20-year-old graphic novel?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
okay.
It doesn't read like a 20-year-old book, though.
Yeah.
No.
Somebody was saying it was a guy, you know, what's his name? Matt Todd, I think his name mm-hmm. is. He comes down mm-hmm. here. He was saying that he's like, for a book that didn't age well, about that book. And I was just, I asked him on Facebook, but he never answered back. I was like, why do you, it's like it didn't age well, because I don't see that.
I feel like it did age well.
Unless he's saying, like, it doesn't stick with continuity anymore. But
if you read that book, it feels far less dated than Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
Or
Watchmen. But the problem with Dark Knight Returns specifically is they absolutely use a Reagan stand-in for president. They use the Russians.
That's not what dates it for me. What dates it for me is the panel layout.
Yeah.
Like especially whenever they are doing the newscasters,
which is
interesting. They do the page with tons of panels.
Yeah, there's nine panels.
Which is interesting because
Alan
Moore did that book, and he didn't write it, but he used. He did Watchmen as well,
which
and that team did that. They did feel where it flows just with squares.
Like the use of the nine panel format, Omega Men uses that quite a bit, but they use it in a very like cinematic way, like something flowing through his nine panels. Whereas in Dark Knight Returns, it was nine panels of these two people's faces just talking through his newscast, and it was like, give me a break.
Sometimes I don't know how artists do it though. Like, do those like.
Panels that are just all
over and flow, and they're just.
I would think that's the ones that flow, but the ones
I just don't know how they communicate with
the
writer at that point, where they're just like the writer is just like, here's what it's about, and they're just like, okay, I'm going to tell this story in art, and I guess that's all they do. But it just seems like, because if you read some scripts, they're just like, okay, this will be a long panel, or this will be a this panel, and the art writer will tell you.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just straight out, I think anymore, just say, do what you want with the panels. This is the story.
Yeah.
I think. Especially, you know, people that have been together for a while, you know, like I could see Capullo and Snyder working that way.
Yeah.
Because they've worked together so
much.
I
think that was the big thing with Capullo, where she was just like, where they were feuding for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was what it was all about in the end, because he had a different vision, but it was just like, well, you have an artist.
Capullo wanted just like outline of, you know, the gist of it. And
they were giving
was
it too
like
much.
Really trying to be a director. And
yeah. And it didn't need to be there.
But it's kind of cool that they went from both of them, you know, going out to DD and saying we can't work together in this book, to suddenly now they're such a tight team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That I'm going to miss this book so much.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going
to
happen.
Excited to see the announcements at WonderCon.
I'm not going to be upset when they put it. Yeah, I want to know that. But I'm not going to be upset if they choose a new artist or something. It'll be a new. But this run of this book has just been
amazing. Oh, it has.
Amazing.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah. So.
Like, I feel like this run has produced some seminal works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That'll be cool. I'm ready for it, the detective. I really am. I'm ready for that to be done. The robot, and I was pointing at the book because we have a whole bunch of them over here in the corner. It's done. It's not, and he didn't do it bad. We've talked about this before. It's the fact that they just shoved it down our throats after a while.
Well, it's been going on for a year.
Some people were able to write back Gordon well. Some people weren't.
I don't think he was. He was able to do it, but it was idea.
But I will say this. I jumped off Detective, but I went back and I picked up the last two issues last week. That actually wasn't a bad arc.
I read the first issue of that.
Tomasi did a decent job writing back.
That's
Gordon,
when the first issue of that arc is the one when they
George
Washington impersonator. That I got behind in that book, but that issue was
lost me with that whole issue where it was the dying monster thing in the Arctic.
Yeah, I
don't know that. Some people really love that issue, especially the art. I didn't. The art, Marcio Takara, I think is the artist's name was.
I just
wasn't a huge fan of it, but yeah, the arc ended up. This most recent arc ended up being pretty solid.
Yeah, but it's just I can't nice wait end for to see what he. I think it'll give Scott Snyder a fresh writing start, like a fresh idea to start on other stories. So.
But
Kevin Conroy and that's pretty cool that. They were able to get that. Mark Hamill said he was done. Like, that's what he said with doing the Joker, and then he came right back to it.
I saw some people complaining that they're going to be on it.
Yeah.
Like, saying, we need new people. They've been on
I don't see why.
Long. No.
Did you? Are you guys familiar with Twin Peaks? Did you watch Twin Peaks?
Yeah.
Do you remember Leland Palmer?
Yeah.
He's the voice of Commissioner Gordon.
Okay.
That's that guy. So that's who they got cast for that.
Ray Wise. Is his name.
Ray Wise.
Okay.
That's right. And I think they cast. Did they cast Barbara?
No, I don't. That's
that one I saw because I went to go look at the IMDb.
Yeah, I think they did cast Barbara.
I knew there was another person they cast. I just can't remember if it was her or not. There's not too many people in that story.
No, it's pretty.
Should be hard to make. I wish, really, I wish they would do more of these movies where they're going back to books and not make their own stories. I never like it. Like,
well, they adapted War to some extent. They adapted Tower of Babel to some extent. Flashpoint Paradox to some extent.
Yeah.
I
like Suicide Squad. That was a good one.
Yeah, but that wasn't in the main. That was in the Arkham game universe.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was. Assault on Arkham. I liked that too.
But I really liked Gods and Monsters.
That one I never saw.
Really? I liked it because it was so fresh. Like, it was such a fresh idea for this.
Tara Strong.
Well, she did the voice originally.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, she does.
Yeah,
she will voice Barbara Gordon.
And they can't get the original Commissioner Gordon because he passed.
He died, yeah.
Him and Alfred, the guy who did the voice of Alfred, and Mr. Freeze.
Okay.
They both died. So.
Well, kind of staying on that theme, Jenna Malone.
Death?
No, Batman. Death. And a Killing Joke, potentially. Jenna Malone's scenes got cut out of Batman versus Superman.
Who's Jenna Malone?
Jenna Malone, apparently she's playing Barbara Gordon, although they kept that quiet, but that apparently leaked last week on something that Warner Brothers was sending around.
Worst kept secret.
Yeah, it really was. Well, first it was...
There's this random redheaded girl.
Yeah, first it was going to be Carrie Kelly, and then I think as they realized that the movie was not an adaptation of Dark Knight Rises...
Yeah,
Barbara Gordon. But they had already said that they're cutting out an arc, leaving it for the R-rated edition. And now with her being cut out of the movie and kind of confirmed as Barbara Gordon, the Killing Joke is the only thing that really makes sense. But she was in The Hunger Games.
Okay.
In the second one, she was the Joanna.
Okay.
She's been in other things, but that's the main thing I remember seeing her in. And they said there's potentially other people who have been cut out of the movie, too. One of the things I heard was maybe KG Beast, which, I mean, he had nothing to do with the Killing Joke that I remember, so...
Yeah.
But that's...
He wasn't even around, I don't think, yet. I mean, it could have been at the same time, because I think that was, like, late 80s, early 90s KG Beast. Because it was Cold War stuff, so it probably was...
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
But there's...
At
some point... I mean, everybody knows who Batman is. You don't have to introduce him. Everybody knows who Superman is. You don't have to introduce him.
Dave doesn't know. Super who? He's innocent.
That's true. Okay. But... There's a lot of characters in there you're going to have to introduce. People probably know who the Flash is because of the show. Cyborg, maybe not so much. They probably know who Wonder Woman is, but don't know her background. So to add in that additional stuff, comic book fans will love it, but the casual fan won't know what's going on. So I kind of get that, and it lets them stick more to the story. Lex Luthor, I mean, that's... Yeah, the problem with Marvel movies essentially is you don't give villains motivation, you don't delve into their background, so they don't mean anything. Lex Luthor, you got to get into his motivation. So I'm okay with him cutting.
I mean, the Marvel films have really only had one
great
good villain. Yeah,
yeah, Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about that is even in the Thor movie, I think they did a better job of setting up Loki's background than Thor.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You cared about Thor because you were told you had to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
Loki, you actually did.
Yeah, it was...
Like, they gave him a story that you actually felt, you know, understood why he was doing what he was doing. You felt bad for him.
And I think anyone that had a brother can, you know, jealousy, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the perception that one's loved more than another. Even if, you know, that's not the case, it's always, well, he's good at sports,
yeah,
so
I mean,
my parents love him more.
Yeah, understands that.
Part of it's the actor too. Tom Hiddleston did
such
a great job in the role. Yeah.
I think he genuinely loved playing the character, and that's why. And that's also why I think he worked so well in the Avengers, was because we already knew his background, we knew his motivation. Yeah. It really worked, and it played itself out.
Well, you know, notice that with people, these actors that are playing characters that you could be like, wow, they really like playing this character. Like, I think you could
see Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool. You could tell he loved playing the character.
I think you could see it with, what's his name, who plays the Penguin in Gotham. I mean, any character.
Robin Taylor Lord.
Yeah. He has it. Like, he's just, like, he's into that character. Stephen Amell is totally into playing
the character. Yeah.
Just all these people that are just really in, and as you said, you know, he's really into playing Loki, but you see it, you know, and then you got some people take the extreme where they said, like, Heath Ledger, like, went to the extreme of playing the Joker, and they're always
Well, that's a little different. There's a difference between someone being a method actor and someone just genuinely enjoying the role, because, like, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
He apparently, like, really gets into roles. Like, people had to call him Abraham Lincoln while he was on set. And, you know, he did another movie where he basically lived the way they would have lived, you know, with no electricity.
Some movies,
and all.
You look at him, you're just like, wow, is that who that is? Like, he goes into it so much,
And I think that's what Heath Ledger was trying to do with the Joker. And not that he didn't have fun with it, but he was going that route where, like, Jack Nicholson, I think, was just having a... You know, let me act like, you know, the Joker and have fun.
Yeah.
And it comes across differently, not better, not worse, different.
Yeah.
I like Nicholson's Joker.
Oh, I love it. There's not a bad part of that movie to me. Like, it's different. I think it holds up, though. And
the only thing it doesn't hold up is some of the effects. Like, there's one part where it's cape.
Okay.
I think they try to animate his cape in some way when he's walking.
Yeah, there's one scene at the very beginning where he turns around and walks.
Oh, yeah, when you're looking up from above. Yeah, that's a weird scene.
The cape looks weird at that point.
Yeah, but, I mean, the actual movie itself, like, you're right, there's shots that maybe don't look as good, but the movie itself holds up very well.
Yeah.
I mean, that came out in, what, 89?
Yeah, 89.
You know, so that's...
Did you see Bleeding Cool had an article not that... A few days ago, I'd say it was, where somebody, like, pitched to DC a Batman 89.
Yeah.
And it looked decent. There were some things with, like, some of the pictures, like, the cover was, like...
Who was it? Was it Kate Leth and... I can't remember now.
The thing I remember is they were saying, like, the DC, you know, they just threw the idea away or something like that. I'm just like, we don't know what happened.
I think that there would have been good aspects to that. I think the problem with that specifically is if you have to follow that continuity, then you have Tommy Lee Jones' version of Two-Face, which was not very good.
They weren't doing that. They were going to continue it as, because on that same cover they had Two-Face as... Billy Dee Williams. Yeah.
No, but I mean,
they even had the face. And the
what about like
the
version of Mr. Freeze and like,
that? I think they'd skip.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they totally.
That's
skip
a, yeah, that's the part I get afraid of.
Yeah.
Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like,
I did not love that cover though.
I didn't either. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not love.
But
that cover
I think it's a good concept. I think
the
they should look
the
into that because I think some of these are doing fairly
wacky to me.
Yeah.
Like Michelle Pfeiffer's.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer did look weird.
Keaton's face looked weird to me.
Yeah.
But the Billy Dee Williams face, Two-Face looked pretty cool.
That looked pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I think they should. I think comic book companies should do a little more of these. Go into those movie universes a little bit and do stuff. And it works for 66.
Yeah, but then you get Marvel. That's the problem.
Well,
DC has quite a few of those, though.
Marvel would be tough, but, you know, I've said it before. I'd like to see the original idea of Spider-Man 3, not the Venom idea, where they were going to do the Vulture.
No, that was Spider-Man 4. John Malkovich is the Vulture.
I think originally it was supposed to be 3. The movie company wanted to... Sony wanted it to go and be a it wanted Venom in it, so he pushed that aside and didn't do anything with those villains, and then he went with Venom in Sandman, and then 4 was going to be okay, I'm going to do my thing, and that's when they dropped out because they weren't letting him do anything. I'd love to see his idea with the Vulture in that as a movie, and I said, why can't you do it in a comic book? But then it's all a bunch of legal issues that you're dealing with there. But
well, I'll tell you, the other villain that I think was supposed to be in that I really want to see on screen is Mysterio.
Yeah.
I want to see how they're going to put him on screen. And then I think the idea was to have Bruce Campbell play Mysterio, which would have been brilliant.
That would have been so good. You know, he always did that cameo character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just...
Or have him be the chameleon or something.
I like those movies. I mean, I just like the two movies. The third one had big issues with it, but that's because the studios got involved. But
as you know, as what happens. So.
Yeah.
That's all I got for news.
That's the news.
That's good.
So should we talk about what's going on in the store this week?
Yeah.
Sales we got our alphabet sale is continuing.
Yeah. Yes. That's the first of two sales.
This week is G&T.
And next week is H and U.
Yep.
So, Adam, what are your recommendations for H and U books?
My H
also,
book?
By the way, the sale was you get
25% off.
Yes. My H book is Hellblazer.
Hellblazer.
Yes. I've really liked that those trades, and now that they've continued those trades with volume numbers and everything, they've made new printings of them. It's just they're a little easier to collect.
They didn't have volume numbers before?
No, they did them.
They did them really story arcs, didn't they?
Yeah. It was weirder to collect because I wanted to read that series, but I didn't really know where to start. And, I didn't want to bother the shopkeep because
He gets cranky.
He'd hit me. And you don't even know what to say here.
Show us on this bear where he's touched you.
Oh, I had something horrible to say. Let's get off that subject while we can. For you.
For me?
For you. we're going to get stuck in a who's on first joke here. Skip.
For you, dear listener.
Yes, for you. They're listening. Ultimate Spider-Man. I talk about this book a lot throughout being on this podcast, but I really enjoyed the early Ultimate Spider-Man run. I think it was just a really good retelling of Spider-Man. It's early Bendis work, and I was a pretty big fan of Bendis earlier on, which anymore you won't hear me say much good about Bendis anymore.
Why?
I love him. I'm not a big fan of Bendis. And,
you want to marry him.
And especially after the in-store convention where he was just like...
I wasn't here for that one.
He mocked all of anybody who was just like... Who said he was? His big thing was, I thought we were not doing a good job with X-Men anymore because, you know, it was doing so badly, so we weren't going to do it anymore. And I was just like, what a jerk! Like,
Battle of the Atom.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just mad because he's not on it anymore because nobody liked him on it. So, live with it.
If you liked Battle of the Atom, write in to the podcast.
Raise your hand.
and try and convince us.
Yeah,
convince us what made it a good event because. That's one recent event that seems really universally panned.
That not only derailed some series, burned them to the ground and peed on their ashes.
Momentum on some series, yeah.
And his ending of Avengers was just a bunch of talking heads. Like, and that's all it was.
But seriously, if you did like Battle of the Atom, send us your defense of it to Colin at Pittsburgh Comics.
Yeah.
And we'll read it and talk about it on the podcast next week.
We'll try to defend it as much.
No,
maybe you'll figure out something that's amazing.
If you have a serious defense as to why it was a good event, I would love to hear it.
But Bendis was just doing a tremendous job on Ultimate Spider-Man for that longest run, so I highly recommend reading some of his retelling of the world of Spider-Man. So that's my U book. What about you, Pat?
My U?
Yeah.
Well, let's start with my H.
Hemorrhoids.
Yeah. For H, I picked Planet Hulk, which
great
I
book.
Thought was a great book. The
prelude to it isn't bad either, where he starts off in Alaska and he has to fight the thing.
Yeah, and then that leads into World War Hulk, which was less good, but it was still an entertaining story.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It's all good as one big, story, but Planet Hulk is just phenomenal.
One of the things, and you know, I don't read Hulk, really, because I think he's a tough character because he's so powerful, it gets boring. I mean, it's kind of like Superman in some ways where... Okay, we got to come up with some fart because he has.
But what makes him interesting is that he walks a very fine line between being a good guy and a bad guy.
Yeah,
he has very little control over himself.
No, that part I get, but I mean, as a character, when it comes down to him fighting somebody, he's so powerful it doesn't really make it a challenge. Planet Hulk, that goes out the window because he's essentially as powerful as everyone else. But he gets and I. forget the exact reason why, but he has Banner's intelligence, essentially. He can talk and everything else. There's, you know, some of the supporting characters in there are pretty cool, except for that bastard Meek.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
Yeah, he is a jerk.
Don't spoil it for
me. No, I won't. I won't.
Recommending it
I won't. But yeah, I highly recommend that, even if you're not necessarily a big Hulk fan. That was a pretty good book.
Yeah, it's just a good read, whether you're a fan of the character or not. And even when it starts to drag on a little bit, then it suddenly changes focus and pivots right around the halfway point. So it's really good. Really well done.
And for my U book, I picked Uncanny X-Force. Anything in Remender's run was really good.
I've heard that. I've heard his run, that was solid.
I think that was like the first thing Colin ever recommended to me. Because I was reading, you know, Deadpool, and I'm like, you know, I was looking for something else. I came in here, and he's like, well, try this. Deadpool's in it. And it was excellent. I think, like, I started it, it was probably at issue, it must have been, like, issue 12, because I started with the second trade, and then went back, got the first one, and then read it in issues following. And it was just a phenomenal series. It, you know, this version of the X-Force is essentially the hit team for the X-Men, and it's Wolverine, Phantom X, Psylocke, Deadpool. There's a clone of Nightcrawler later on, and Archangel. So it's really good. Dave, you were drinking.
Oh. Wait. Code word?
Yeah. It's, well, Pat had it. What was it, Pat?
Which one?
Your code word.
Oh, who are you?
Is that what we're using?
The code word is, who are you?
What? You, like, turned on your radio voice or something? The Josh code word is.
So when you come into the store,
are you?
Between March 17th and March 22nd, and you say the words, who are you, to Colin, you get double points on any action figures.
Or he'll look at you and be like,
plus
I'm Colin.
You get to plus you get to confuse him, which is also a great pull.
He'll be like, I'm Colin, who are you?
Once again, the code word is who are you for double points on action figures.
Are you.
All right, Dave.
My H book, I'll say The Hood. I'll recommend The Hood. This is the limited series, 10, 15 years ago, somewhere in there, by Brian K. Vaughan and Cal Hotz. And it's basically a small-time crook who finds this magic cape and hood that turns him invisible and does some other things. And he doesn't use it to fight crime or anything. He uses it to commit crimes. And he falls in with, well, he has problems with his girlfriend and his buddy, and falls in with some bad people, and it's really interesting.
Is this the Marvel character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always wondered where he came from. Like, yeah, he kind of came out of nowhere.
I think that was his first appearance.
Dark Reign, he was in that.
Yeah. Yeah. He kind of fell off the rails, I guess, as a character after the
limited series. He tried to become the Kingpin a little later on.
Yeah. That was Bendis.
He got Bendis.
But yeah, but this Brian K. Vaughan miniseries is really good. In my U, Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud, who is an acclaimed writer, artist. This book is a big trade paperback. It's done in comics form, but it's part history of comics, but it's mostly an examination of comics and how they work, why they work, as far as panels, what happens between panels, why panels, you know, fool you into thinking, seeing things. It's symbolism. It is fascinating. It is a must-read. I read this thing like...
You were, like, getting really passionate about this book right now.
Yes, it is. Yes, because I think it's a must-read for anybody who likes comics. It is just fascinating. you'll read in every page. It's like,
he's gonna sell it to us, and then it's not gonna be here anymore.
Got one copy there, I think. And there's a, I see it right over there. There's a sequel to it. It's called Making Comics. That isn't too long ago, but yeah, it's just pick up the Understanding Comics and see the comments on the back and the people who recommend it. I think Neil Gaiman's there, and everybody. It's fascinating. Huh.
All right.
That's Understanding Comics, Scott McCloud.
Great. So for mine, for H, I'm going to go with Harbinger from Valiant. So Harbinger focuses on this organization that is trying to unlock abilities in these kids, almost like these, I don't say psychic abilities, but they are, abilities of them, almost like, different powers with their minds. Like one can get the power to fly and can make these bubbles around people to carry them with them, or almost like shields. Another one can communicate with, electronic devices. They all have different levels of abilities, and it's almost very much like an X-Men kind of kind of book. But it's showing there's more to this organization than is on its surface, and it leads to this big conflict between different factions, and it goes up to Harbinger Wars, and then it leads into the Imperium books going on right now. But it's a really good book, and really plays a big part in the Valiant universe. It's been we have Imperium right now, which is focusing on Toyo Harada and his organization. So we haven't seen much from the characters that remain focused in the Harbinger book, the Renegades, in a while. But it's the impact is still there in all the Valiant books that have been going on currently, and it was really, really enjoyable read. The first trade starts off a little bit slow, but it does pick up pretty quickly and becomes very engaging. For my U, actually, Dave and I both thought of this, and both of us thought no one else is going to pick this book, because it's kind of a smaller title. Original graphic novel, just one, there's not multiple volumes or anything. Mm-hmm. It's by Jeff Lemire, written and illustrated by him. And it's called The Underwater Welder. And it is broken up into, I think, four sections, like four chapters.
Okay.
Dave?
Yeah.
And it focuses on this guy who he is an underwater welder. That's his profession. His wife, if I remember correctly, it's been a few years, his wife's pregnant. He's starting to have like these, concerns about being a dad, being a good husband.
And this is in Canada.
In Canada. He's thinking about, his childhood, his father, and drawing parallels between his current situation and his situation as a kid. And he starts experiencing some issues himself. Mm-hmm. And the book really turns into like a fantastic episode of The Twilight Zone, almost. That's the kind of feel it has to it. It's all black and white. But it's just a really fantastic book. It's really well done. The story is really unique and captivating. And it just, I don't know, it just felt like a really special book.
It's all about fatherhood.
Yeah.
Fatherhood issues. And Jeff Lemire, he's just at his best when he's the writer, both writer and artist.
And when like he's writing like personal things.
And personal, yes.
Like I feel like his creator and stuff and his personal stuff has been the best, like that Essex County,
yes.
Sweet Tooth,
Sweet Tooth, yes.
I wish I recommended that for S's.
That was a good one for S.
I can't. I don't remember what I recommended for S, but it wasn't as good as Sweet Tooth.
Yes, I second. Second that.
Whatever I said.
Yeah. Oh well. Well, we got T is for Tooth, so.
Yeah.
This week.
If you come down now and buy Sweet Tooth, you can talk Colin into letting you slide under tees. But yeah, I guess.
I got a bonus one.
Yeah, hopefully he'll do another one.
Since Colin's not here, another H book, Hush.
Oh, okay.
Which is a Batman story somehow manages to incorporate, like, every villain.
Yeah.
It's a really good book.
And it now comes in a coloring book form.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So volume one. On
volume one. I think it's like three issues of that for the coloring book. Yeah. And there's one on his shelf that I can recommend for you. He has Umbrella Academy, which I'm not totally familiar with.
I know that's
with,
one of his. Yeah, I know that's one of his favorites.
That's one of his
favorites. He'll talk to you about that one.
Yeah. That's what Colin would have picked.
Yep.
I don't know what he picked for H. I mean, he would have picked Hellblazer. Oh, he picked Hush?
Well, no, I said he picked
You gave it to him. Yeah.
What would he have picked for H?
Probably Hellblazer.
Well, he mentioned Hellblazer before.
Okay.
I thought it, he thought it at the same time on Tuesday.
Hellboy.
And so he would definitely pick that as well. So, yeah.
All right. So what did everybody read last week? Dave?
I can't start yet.
Why?
I'm not done.
You got two books and you didn't read them.
No, I got more of that.
Okay.
Should I hold off on that first one, Adam, though?
No, you can. No. Get ready for a Dave rant. This is going to be great.
Oh, really?
We'll go this way, so I'll have time. Because I'm almost done with this.
Okay, well. Okay. I just mean, can you talk about it now? Do you want to read the book?
No, I read.
No, he's read that.
I've read that. I only got two books. I had to read. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're gonna start with X-Files, Deviations.
Yeah.
Number one. Thank goodness it was only one.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's
I was like thinking, well, should I really go off on this book? Or
you should, if you felt that way.
Or should I look at the bright side?
But I'll go off on it.
I don't think this was a story.
No,
I don't think this had the elements of an introduction, conflict, and resolution.
Yeah, it didn't.
What elements did it have?
Well, this is okay. Deviations. This is
I wish.
This is the IDW event, and they're showing in their titles what would happen.
It seems like basically it's a what if type story.
It's a what if type thing. So in the X-Files, it is what if Fox Mulder, was taken by the aliens instead of his sister Samantha.
Did she become the agent?
So of course, yes. You just wrote the book.
So
she becomes the agent.
Well, no, here's the thing.
I like Surly Dave.
So it is first.
Who wrote the book was the guy who wrote the series. He wrote the first episode. So if you take the first episode, and I mean, the book explains exactly that this is what it is, that it's Mulder replaces his sister. You know, she was abducted, he was. But the thing is, I didn't take it that literal. That it was going to be exactly that.
It starts off with Scully's first day at the Bureau, and she gets assigned to the X-Files, and she goes down in the basement, and Agent Mulder is there, Agent Samantha Mulder. And
you've seen the first episode, right, of X-Files?
Yeah.
Okay, so take that episode in your head and just replace Mulder with his
female
sister.
Female version?
Yeah. And you just wrote that book. Because that's exactly what it was.
And I could easily do that because I saw today someone swap the faces between Mulder and Scully.
Uh-huh. So I saw that too.
I had in my head what a female Mulder looks like.
That's what it would be.
She's investigating teenagers, these disappearance of teenagers over the past 20 years when people said they saw lights in the sky. So they go to their old house. They go to the Mulder house, and she has a flashback to when Fox was taken. And they see a guy running around in a tracksuit.
And this is the spoiler.
This is a spoiler, so fast forward like a minute. Or 2 minutes to be safe. So
we got to get it off there. Give him a minute.
So they try to follow him, but the guy runs back to some car. And it turns out it's Fox Mulder, and he gets in the car with the cigarette-smoking man.
Yeah.
And then it ends.
That was it.
And that was it.
So basically, first episode, switch them. And it's the same thing, except for the running part at the end, and then it's over. It was just like, it wasn't a what if. It was like, I don't know.
It was a why.
It was, even the lines were very,
I mean.
I'm hoping these two that we got today are better. Today came out Transformers, What If Optimus Prime Didn't Die, and What If the Ghostbusters Didn't Cross the Streams. And I hope they're better, because they seem like they take place after an event.
Mm-mm.
So they might, what?
I looked at the Transformers one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I was having a lot of hope for these.
No,
that's not good.
Although there was one part where when I opened it, I heard the touch playing in the back in my head.
When you mentioned the switched faces, I kept getting in my head. This is the second time I mentioned Twin Peaks, but you remember when David Duchovny was on Twin Peaks?
Yeah.
That's what that reminded me of, that image. Because if you remember that. Yeah, it just... It was very disappointing. This was my, my big disappointment.
It's been a long time since I wanted to return a book and just really didn't get my money's worth.
You wanted to return it?
Well, now
Now we want
to. I'm not gonna...
did you feel that having to pay for that book was a vegetative injustice?
It was...
You just got joshed.
It was, yes. It was. I was very, very disappointed in that book.
You'd have to be a vegetable to like this book. Like a parsnip or a carrot or what?
I don't know. Potato, maybe.
Starch.
Yeah. It's true. Oh, yeah, it's true. Oh, well.
Oh, well, you live, you learn.
Maybe a radish. Radish.
A rutabaga.
That's a dumb vegetable. A rutabaga.
How many syllables do you need? Come on, you're a vegetable.
Yeah.
Okay. What else did you read, Dave?
Better book, Doctor Strange, number five.
Yeah, I think I read that.
I totally don't
remember it though.
Yeah, this is mostly Doctor Strange fighting against the Empirical, who are taking all the magic and destroying all the magic users in the universe and in the multiverse.
No, maybe I didn't read it. And, I know I bought it. I don't think I read it.
And they're trying to get in. In this issue, they're trying to get into the Sanctum Sanctorum. And Doctor Strange is calling on all the despair in the world to try to feed into them. And then he reaches down to the depths of the earth to pull all the magic out to use against the Empirical.
And he hulks up.
And he does hulk up, and this results in a great line. As he hurls the magic to the Empirical, he yells, "Abracadabra, you son of a B."
What's she going to do when the power of Doctor Strange runs wild on you?
Yes.
It's no yippee-ki-yay, mother, but, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it made me chuckle. That was a good... I thought it was a good book. There's some scenes that they show some magic users around the world, Scarlet Witch, and Shaman and Talisman from Alpha Flight up in Canada, and Dr. Voodoo in New Orleans. And there's also a cool backup story.
Yeah, I know I didn't read it then.
There's a backup story that shows a different... the effect of what happens when magic is lost on Earth. And it's a story, there's just a one-page story about this guy, George. He finds an amulet that shrinks into the size of a bug, and he's about to lead the Beetle Riders and the Ant Samurai against the Mantis King. And then he loses his powers, and he goes up, so it's like a naked guy running around Peoria Park.
Okay.
So I thought it was very clever. Okay, Doctor Strange. Next, Descender number 11.
Man, that was a good issue.
That was a great issue.
That was a great issue.
Wasn't it? That was revelation
mm-hmm.
after revelation.
Yeah, quite a few twists and turns in this issue. It leaves you... Now on a 3-month hiatus, I think. Back in June.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. I guess 2 months, April, May.
It went on out on a high note here.
But yeah, it definitely left you wanting more immediately.
Yes. That's... There's still... The robots are still examining Tim, 21, to find out, you know, if they can make sense of his dreams and what happened to all the robots who were... destroyed by the harvesters, and Captain Telsa, she's
still convinced that they're not really guests but prisoners, and they're just going to be killed once they get what they need from Tim.
And they're walking around, and they find a harvester.
Yeah. Well, not just walking around, they do break into an area they're supposed to be in and get caught.
Right.
But yeah, they find they find what appears to be a harvester, and we find out that the robots actually worship these harvesters as gods. And they're trying to, you know, unlock, I guess the secrets of the harvesters, and find out if this robot heaven exists, this server where all the robots that were that have been killed through the calling over the years, if there's still some way to get them back or communicate with them.
Yeah. And then we have Tim 21 walking around with Tim 22.
And Tim 22 may have a bit of a different agenda than we thought.
Yeah, and he shows them this army that they want to use, the robots want to use.
Don't spoil everything because Adam's reading right now.
I won't spoil it.
Yeah.
Of what?
Descender. You're
a clown sometimes.
I won't give away. Okay, we won't give away.
No, I was focused on this.
Yeah, okay. I'm reading something too, but I'm still paying attention.
There's a lot going on.
Wow. You can't multitask.
We won't. I won't remember those last couple pages
There's a big reveal. There's a big twist with Tim 20 and Tim 22, and a big reveal possibly with Dr. Kwan. Like, just a lot of twists and turns in this issue, and the trade comes out next month. And I would highly recommend, if you're looking for something different, unique to pick up, check out the trades for Descender. We recommended to Adam. He picked up the first trade and was raving about it right away. Yeah. It's Jeff Lemire writing, Dustin Nguyen on art. How can you not want to read a book from a guy whose name is Dustin Nguyen? We already raved about Jeff Lemire.
Yeah. Just
buy the damn book.
Mic drop. Okay. Next.
Don't drop the mic. It's expensive.
Only Colin can do that.
What happened? Dave wanted to drop the mic, and he was in charge.
He didn't.
You tell Dave no.
I'm not.
Okay. Next, I read The Haunted Mansion.
How was that?
Number one.
I don't know how I feel about these books that Disney's making based on rides.
Yeah.
It was somewhat interesting.
You know, though, I could see a premise for that, at least.
That one I could, like Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
I could still see a premise in that, too.
Well, I guess you could make a premise. You could come up with a premise for anything. It just seems like a stretch.
Well, no, I mean, there's a railroad, you know, that goes through a mountain that carries gold or whatever. It gets robbed. That, like, I can see that, and that would be, you know, a premise.
There is a story that goes along with the actual attraction.
I will give Haunted Mansion this. Like, when you're waiting in line, there's so many interactive things that kind of fill you in on the backstory.
It's basically about a bride who does in all her husbands. That's what it's about. But this story, Haunted Mansion number one from Marvel... It's a kid, Danny, and his grandpa. And the grandpa wants to go into the haunted mansion, the big old haunted mansion on the hill, but Danny, he's too scared. And grandpa says, well, I'm going away to climb up Matterhorn Mountain. And when I get back, we're going to go into the haunted mansion. But what happens is...
He's not tall enough.
No, it's even darker than that. Grandpa doesn't come back.
Oh, no.
Lost in the Matterhorn?
Because there's an avalanche on Matterhorn Mountain.
Say it isn't so.
It's so.
So after the funeral, Danny's at home, and he gets a vision in his mirror to go to the Haunted Mansion because his grandpa needs help. So he goes into the Haunted Mansion. He overcomes his fear. He goes in there, and he meets Madame Leota, who is in the Haunted Mansion attraction, the one in the crystal ball.
Okay.
And she tells him that all the ghosts in the Haunted Mansion are being kept there by this evil pirate spirit who's feeding them. Who's making them be evil?
It wasn't Jack Sparrow, was it?
Well, they didn't show him in this issue. And he's keeping them all prisoners in the Haunted Mansion so they can't leave. And they need Danny's help to free them, and his grandpa's spirit is there. So they need, like, a living relative. And then we see the bride sneaking around at the end, seeing what Danny's doing. But it was somewhat interesting. Except for, I mean, the beginning was kind of weird with the grandpa goes off to the Matterhorn, and the panel later, the avalanche is over him, and he's dead. But somewhat of an interesting premise. Last one I'll mention is an all-ages title from Boom, Baker Street Peculiars, number one, by Roger Langridge.
Looked interesting.
Yeah, it was good. I thought it was really good. It's about, takes place in London, 1930s Sherlock Holmes, London, and starts off with this lion statue that becomes living and starts running around, and these three street urchins start following it, trying to figure out what's going on, and they run into who they think is Sherlock Holmes, and there's a few pages, and Sherlock deduces everything about the three kids, their backgrounds, and asks them that he needs help on some of his cases, and he pays them all. He offers to pay them all like a farthing a week to help him out with his caseload. And they agree, and then you see Sherlock Holmes. This is a spoiler. I don't even know if I should say this. Something is weird. I want you people to read this book.
Yeah, don't spoil number one.
Something is weird. Something is going on with Sherlock Holmes. Something peculiar is going on with Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, use the title.
Yeah, Adam liked that one. Thank you.
It all comes full circle.
This is just a 4-issue miniseries, and you know, the art's cartoony, but that's the way this book's supposed to be.
Who did you say the artist was on it again?
Artist is, I wrote it down.
It's that artist from...
It's Andy Hirsch, who I'm not familiar with.
Oh, you're not? Okay, I thought it was somebody else. Okay.
Roger Langridge wrote it, but he didn't draw it. But it kind of looks like his artwork. Because he did Muppets and...
That's right, it was Muppets. I was thinking there was a book there. Yeah,
he did Muppets and that Abigail and the Snowman book I liked last year.
Okay.
Or 2 years ago. But, yeah, Baker Street Peculiars, 4-issue miniseries. It was a good book. That's all I got. Josh?
All right, so the first one that I will mention is Action Comics number 50. So, Superman gets his groove back. In this book, he finally finds a way to get his powers back. He's going up against Vandal Savage and Savage's kids. Savage is concocting a plan to try and shoot all of them in these shuttles up to the comet that he got his powers from initially. And Superman is trying to get to him and his, you know, fortress of sorts to stop him. And this book focuses a lot on Superman's comrades in arms, all the normal people and heroes alike that are, you know, fighting for his cause and trying to do the right thing, and how he himself feels like he can't ever stop because, you know, some of them are just normal people and they're still, you know, pushing forward and fighting and not thinking about their safety. So who is he to think about what's happening to him and what's with the kryptonite that he's wearing around his neck is doing to him. So he confronts Savage. He is being told by Wonder Woman to stop, that they've you know, got the situation in hand, that they can take over for him to you know, save himself, but he's not listening. He grabs on one of the shuttles and he's hurtling into the atmosphere. One of Vandal's kids in the shuttle, and then Savage shows up, and he finds out that Savage is just doing this to really see what will happen before he, you know, hurls himself into the path of the comet. So he's using his kids as a kind of a test that works out, because the kids get these incredible powers and come back even more brutal than they were originally. And through the course of his altercation with Savage, Savage throws Superman off of this shuttle, and Superman's falling to the ground. And coincidentally, Superman happens to be falling to Earth directly above the Fortress of Solitude.
That's convenient.
Yeah.
And Superman thinks, oh, I'm going to be impaled on all the spikes in the fortress. But he happens to fall right into the big opening in the top of the Fortress of Solitude.
Well, things are really working out for him.
Which, why is that have a big opening at the top?
Yeah.
Even in Supergirl recently, we're watching, my wife's like, why is it snowing in there?
Yeah.
Why is there, and I said, well, I think there's an opening. And immediately she's like, why would there be an opening?
I don't know, does it snow there, though?
Inside the Fortress of Solitude?
No, and
no,
in the North Pole.
Yeah, it's technically a desert. There's ice, but yeah. I don't think it snows there.
It's so, yeah, because
it's
there's no
so
real
cold and arid.
Precipitation.
I don't think it snows.
Well, in the show, it snowed.
Because there's no real water to go into the water cycle.
Yeah.
So it can't snow.
The concern is, why is it open on top?
Well, what
no,
if he,
there's
to,
bigger
he doesn't
concerns
want to have to
here.
Leave the door to fly? He can just fly there.
Yeah, he's
of
got
course,
a point,
the other
though.
Question
most
is,
of his villains, though, are flying villains.
Yeah,
he
they
protects
can just
the key
fly
with,
in.
He made a key that's made out of an old dead
star.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he's able to only be the one to pick it up. But then there's a big opening at the top.
Yeah.
That's like if you made this, like, you had Fort Knox, and there's just like, yeah, but we have a window open up.
Who's going to climb the window?
With a ladder standing.
Why did we put a pie out there? That's just going to invite yeah. thieves.
Who doesn't motivate villains? Clearly, they'd never seen DuckTales. The Beagle Boys would have.
That's true.
So he's falling directly above the Fortress of Solitude. He thinks he's getting impaled, but he falls right through the hole, and immediately the fortress analyzes him, realizes who it is, realizes what's going on with his cells, and rebuilds like his cellular structure and gets the kryptonite out of him, and he gets his powers back. Suddenly he's in costume, and he's zooming off into the...
Why didn't they do it before?
Yeah. Well, here's one of my big problems. In that 8-page preview, and he gets to the Fortress of Solitude, and he goes up to it, and he puts his hand on the door to get in,
yeah.
and the fortress says... Cannot verify that you're Superman. Cannot verify you're Kryptonian. We're going to make your cape dematerialize. And
yeah.
he managed to get a couple scraps. So it couldn't identify him then. But as he's falling through the top,
it's
to
almost
death,
like
it suddenly analyzes and says, oh yeah, you are Superman.
It's almost like the door computer is a totally different computer
yeah.
that's just a big jerk. Like, the inside computer is just like, oh, I can help
it's
you
like,
out.
It's
the
a
door
like,
computer.
Sorry about
style.
The jerk door computer.
It's like we're at a party inside, the door's like, no, we're not home.
I'm sorry, Cal. I can't let you in.
Yeah, that's really dumb, actually. I don't
yeah.
know how I feel about
it. It was
that.
Just
that sounds like an easy role.
We all
way to
knew he was getting
it.
His powers back, but that seemed like a really easy way to have him
big
get
time.
Powers
yeah,
back.
That's,
yeah, at I least Batman had to die in order to
yeah, man,
become
Batman.
Batman
he was
again.
Just like, I got to
like,
back up my brain.
I get
like,
that the fortress rejuvenated him after, you know, death of Superman.
Yeah.
But that was a longer process, and there was more. It was more involved, not just, hey, you fall through, and as you're still plummeting to your death,
how can
we're going to rebuild your cellular structure, and then you're fine. Here's your costume. Fly off.
Yeah. Have fun.
And where'd the costume come from? Because after he went supernova,
yeah.
He had to get a new costume. So, like, he
does his computer
just the costume
just
doesn't materialize.
Maybe it does. Maybe, yeah, maybe he has, you know, a super tailor that you know.
Super tailor.
Super Giuseppe comes
it's
in.
It's a different robot.
Yeah. It was just
so he gets measuring him. Okay, we're good.
For this many months of this
story
going on.
And it has an Italian accent.
Yeah, it has
to. Of course it does.
This many months of this story going on. The resolution of getting his powers back seemed a bit easy.
Yeah.
What? Then he's thrilled and he's...
I think it goes back to the thing of why didn't he... If he knew he had a hole in the top of the Fortress of Solitude, why didn't he just get to that hole to begin with to get in? I mean, if that was his way in, it's almost like, I'm serious, it's almost
Diana,
like the window thing.
Please
yeah,
fly me
fly
to
me over.
Above and
it's
then
almost
drop
like
me
he
in.
Was just like, I can't have a woman, like, help me fly into, sneak into this. I'm Superman, you know, send a
yeah.
bad message. No.
Probably like, Oh, that hole, it's so inaccessible.
Well,
no one can go into that hole.
I don't want to go back to the open window thing, but you lock yourself out of your house, okay? The window is open. You can get to the window. Are you going to stand there at the door and be like, we can't get into this house anymore? Or are you going to climb through the window?
Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Well, I've broken into my own
house. First floor or second floor?
First.
When I was a kid, I was locked in the house, got from school, locked in the house, no one's home. And I knew my bedroom window was unlocked, second floor. So I had to try and, like, get up to the second floor and get in the window. And do you remember, maybe you didn't have them, but when you were kids, maybe you had them, these giant, like, waffle blocks you could use to, like, build things, like, structures out of.
Yeah.
So I had these things.
Little Josh trying to make a ladder out of waffle blocks.
I built, like, rectangular boxes out of them. And I stacked them. And I climbed it. And I got into the window, but, like, as I'm climbing in, the boxes started falling, and I, like, fell into the window, and my hand grabs the lamp, and the lamp gets busted, and I shock myself, and it was a big cluster.
I thought the story was going to go that he was building this way of getting in. By the time he got there, he gets in the window, and, like, his parents are already home, and they're just like, we've been here for hours.
Actually, I got locked out of my house one time. And my mom normally works, so, you know, I figured nobody was home. My brothers weren't going to get home for, like, another half hour or something like that.
Yeah.
So I walk around the house, and I go in the window. My mom was home sick. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So my hand goes in the window, and all of a sudden, like, pain. She threw a coffee cup at me. She thought I was breaking into the house.
One place we lived before when we were young, I think my brother had to climb in, but we had, like, we had, like, a patio roof that had pillars to it that were almost looked like a ladder.
Uh-huh.
So you could climb that onto the roof and then get into the top part. But, yeah. But still, you have the idea. Why didn't he just do that? How many people does he know has a plane?
Maybe he didn't have waffle blocks.
The Green Lantern could have helped him out there. I think he was just, like, you know, I think he's insecure is what it really leads to.
Well, you know. Bruce isn't Batman, so he can't go to Bruce. Sure.
He and Batgirl do not get along.
Who knows where
Green
Lantern is? Although
Batgirl is hoping not here.
Green Lantern is wherever he wants to be, you know.
Well, most of the Green Lanterns are in the other universe.
Yeah. So maybe he didn't really have any
just
help.
Just a bit simple. Bit,
I think you
get
it.
A bit easy.
It. Yeah.
And I normally like Aaron Cooter's art a lot, but didn't love it in this issue, especially like once he got his powers back. He had him flying around with his big, like, shit-eating grin on his face. He's trying to show how happy he was he has powers back.
Yeah.
But it just didn't look right to me. I don't know. It was an okay issue 50. It's just, it's kind of a shame that this is the send-off issue for Greg Pak and Aaron Cooter, because when they came on to Action Comics, they came on, like, gangbusters and really changed that book around and gave us a phenomenal Superman book. And then the past few arcs, it's really gotten bogged down by larger storytelling, like with the what was the arc whenever he was doomed. Yes, surrender. Yeah, with that and then this and then killed the momentum of the book.
I don't like a lot of books that tie into other title books because I don't get all the title books.
This
Doomed
one,
I liked. I thought that was a good book.
With this story, this Superman Truth story, I decided I'm not gonna buy the high-end books I wasn't already getting. So just Action and Superman, that's it.
Yeah.
Not going to get Batman, Superman, not going to get Superman, Wonder Woman.
It just went all over the place. Yeah.
But it was okay. We'll see where the last two issues go. I guess this storyline wraps up in Superman 50, which is out today. We talked about the sender. Green Lantern Corps, Edge of Oblivion. So, either of you guys reading that?
I am, but I think that's the other one I forgot to read. I don't remember anything about that.
You failed this podcast.
Yeah, I know.
So, this one, we still have the Rogue Lanterns trying to make their way to MOGO. Supposedly, they're still, like, a couple days away, which, I mean, I guess it's space. You can see things from pretty far away, but it seemed like they were closer than they are.
Yeah, it did seem like they were close, like they were just barely off planet.
So they are trying to get there. Apparently, I missed something, but apparently this other planet where this last city is at is also sentient in some way because Mogo's communicating with it.
Okay.
And the planet has filled Mogo in that they have about 4 days left before that universe is gone, is dead.
Okay.
So we have the...
two issues, whichever comes first.
Yeah, so we have the core splitting up. Well, this has three more issues.
Hey, Bob.
So we have the core...
Don't tell him. He'll get pissed.
Don't tell me what.
Gotham was renewed for season three.
Ooh.
Just like, I can take it.
It doesn't impact me. I don't have to watch it.
He's going to go home and cry.
It's on the DVR. I haven't watched it yet. What was I saying now? Oh, yes.
Yeah, so the core... so irritated.
The core splits off into different groups where some of them are... going off into, you know, different directions away from the planet, trying to find anything, you know, that can remotely tell them how to, you know, escape that universe and get back to their universe. And they're instructed to travel out as far as they can for a couple days. And if they haven't found anything, to come back so they can get back before the end occurs. And another group of the Lanterns, led by Guy Gardner and Kilowog, are going into the surface of the planet to try and stop the spider ball gown lady that's been around for forever. And it leads to a pretty big conflict between them and her, which ends up with her somehow hacking a Green Lantern ring and gaining Green Lantern abilities herself. Like, okay. She quickly dispatched of all those Lanterns. And I think it was Gardner's ring that she managed to get to come under her finger. But it was a good issue. It was a very intense issue. I think I'm liking this miniseries better than I liked Lost Army so okay. far. But I have no idea where it's going and where it's going to end up. The only thing I keep thinking is we had that Abyss thing that sucked in Arisia and Badge last issue. Was it Badge that got sucked into? That, like, tear in space?
Someone, I think so, yeah.
I think it was Arisia and Badge. And they think that they're dead. And I have a feeling that maybe that sucked them into...
our universe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause
that was kind of what I...
I think maybe that's why that woman, that spider lady was trying to stop the planet... from going towards it. Because she's all about the apocalypse or the destruction, whatever. But it was good. I liked it. Ninjak number 13. So this is the conclusion of the Operation Deadside arc. It was pretty good. The one thing this arc has really shown is you can take Ninjak and kind of put him anywhere, and he works. Like I've said for a while, that Ninjak is kind of Valiant's version of Bruce Wayne meets James Bond meets Bruce Lee. And it keeps establishing that, you know, more and more. He's going toe-to-toe with Shadow Man, or as he's known in the Deadside as Magpie. Ember, this other demon, you know, shows up to try and stop him. Because they're trying to just talk Shadow Man down, which isn't working. And fortunately, Puck Mambo shows up, and where Shadow Man has this Loa where he gets his powers from, she also has this Loa. Now, Shadow Man, in his book, we saw this, and it's still going on here, the Loa seemed to have more control over him than he had of it, and he was starting to get very violent and do things that he didn't remember, and that was going on in the main Shadow Man book when it was still current. Whereas Punk Mambo, she has control of this Loa, this spirit that she's utilizing. And once Shadow Man finds out that she's in control of it, he suddenly becomes very interested in how she's able to make it her minion as opposed to the other way around. And while that's going on, while he's confronting her, that's, you know, Ninjax with Ember. And also he goes off on a side mission while they're distracted and manages to recover all the operatives from the previous mission to the dead side. It was a good end to the arc. Again, the art in this arc has been phenomenal. The coloring especially in the dead sign with all the magic, especially when we're seeing the Loas on Paige, just really popped. It really gave this a strong supernatural feel. I think, I don't know who the colorist is off the top of my head, but they did a phenomenal job on this book. The backup story was focusing on Magpie's last day in the dead side and showing just how evil Magpie was. They end up resolving it because they were able to open a portal back to our plane, or the normal plane, and Ninjak theorizes that the ropes that are binding Shadow Man to Master Dark so that Dark can control him aren't actually doing anything, that it's just he believes that he's bound, and the pain he feels is all psychosomatic. So he essentially throws Shadow Man into this portal to our realm, which should have killed him, but it didn't. He came out on the other end as, you know, his human self, Jack Boniface, and MI6 ends up locking him up in this like special containment facility for more paranormal and supernatural threats to be studied. So he's definitely going to be back in some way. There were some teases as to what's to come, so I'm looking forward to that. I really enjoyed the Shadow Man book when it was out, so I'd like to see that get another ongoing. And the last one I'll mention is Starfire, number 10. So, Pat, you stopped reading this, right?
Starfire? Yeah. Yeah.
So, this is Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor. It's very much in the same vein as Harley Quinn. I don't feel it's quite as goofy as Harley Quinn is. Harley Quinn just kind of went off the rails.
Yeah.
Some issues of this have been a bit more over the top than others. But this current arc, we had Starfire, Atli, and Stella all essentially going on a vacation to Atli's world, which is this underworld. And once they get down there, something with their light source or energy source they use in the underworld has this weird effect on Starfire, and she goes into a coma. And at the time she goes into a coma, suddenly this warlord that has been at odds with Atli's people decides to mount an attack with his army. And her people are very peaceful. There are these protectors that have ways to defend and weapons, but everyone else in general does not. So she's the only protector that's available. She's trying to fend off this army. And at the same time, doctors looking at Starfire and find out that she's not in a coma because she's hurt. It's because her body is almost overcharged and it doesn't know how to handle it. So now it's starting to process it, and she snaps out of it with greater abilities than she had previously. So she joins in the fight and uses a move, seems very similar to Superman's like supernova move, where she just expels all of this light and energy, and looked like in the process killed the entire army that was coming at them, including this warlord, like just straight up slaughtered them. But it looked great when it was happening. The art was fantastic. The arc's been fun. This book has been a fun book. Even with this big battle raging, it was still, you know, a fun, quirky, sometimes mature humor to it. But it wasn't bad. Only a couple issues left. But I heard today in another podcast that Palmiotti and Connor said that this is the story they wanted to tell. That they're not cutting it short. They planned their story for 12 issues. So we'll see where it ends up. The last two issues. And the last one I wanted to read was Vision 5, but I meant to read it today, but I got busy, so...
You have failed this podcast.
Yeah. I wanted to... It was the first one that I was reading on time, because I jumped on board late.
Okay.
So I was looking forward to be able to give it a little review, but maybe next week I'll talk about it briefly. It's been a fantastic series. So. All right, Patrick?
Patrick, wow, what did I do?
Got all formal.
I know. Where I got in trouble for
can
something.
Can I have unsweetened tea first?
I suppose. Okay. We'll start off with Shaft.
He's a right.
complicated man.
Wait, what are you talking about? Oh, that's something different.
No, I'm talking about Shaft, and I can dig it.
I was going to say Willis.
No, that's different strokes.
Yeah, I was worried. I was worried you were going to say that. I was like, I should use a different Shaft.
You meant
reference.
To say, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, then what?
So in this, it continues from the last issue. And what he talks about is essentially there's different kinds of money you can make as a private detective. There's easy money, and then there's what he calls bullshit money. And a lot of times the easy money jobs turn into the bullshit money jobs where, you know,
is that the truth?
You get shot at and, you know, that kind of stuff shouldn't have happened. So he's in a bar, and the kid that he saved in the last issue came to him, or found him in the bar and said, you know, I can help you find this other kid, Angel Face, that you were looking for before. And Chef basically said, I'm done with that job. I'm not going to find a kid, whatever. And then what we find out is...
It's fucked. Let's go.
They,
fucked.
They had... This kid had a boyfriend who... went missing, and what he wanted was for Shaft to kind of shake down these mafia guys to find out where the kid is. And the first thing, you know, he says to the kid is, no matter what happens, keep your mouth shut. I got this. And as soon as they walk in the door, the kid starts dropping F-bombs and, you know, to the mafia guys. And they, you know, so it went bad real quick.
What a punk.
And he said, you know, what's worse than a bullshit job is a no money job, and that's what this was. It's really interesting. It reads a lot like a Shaft movie would be. It's very gritty, kind of like, you know, 70s New York. It very much reads that way, and the art is that way. So it's been a decent series. Codename Babushka. This was the last issue of this arc. She had been stuck on this ship, and they're searching for what they think is a thumb drive that has data about all the, you know, these secret organizations and all these spies and all this other stuff. She eventually finds it and, gets off the boat, and she gets approached by this group called Eon, which is like, you know, super secret CIA or whatever, who she doesn't want to work for them, but they know what her real name is. So she's kind of blackmailed into having to continue to work for them. And I guess that's where it's going to set up the next arc. I thought the book was really good at the beginning, but it kind of got generic action heroine at the end. Almost... like a generic blonde version of Black Widow in a lot of ways. It was okay, but it wasn't great. Kettlebach Blues.
I just read the first
one?
Not the full thing, but they had a preview, I think, of either Walking Dead or Ringside. I think it was Ringside.
It was Ringside had it, yeah.
What a weird book.
Yeah, but this is the second part, and it's still really weird. Now they're trying to escape, and the way that they're going to escape is up through what they thought was a tunnel, but it turns out to be the exhaust port on the crematorium, and, you know, right as they're about to escape, someone turns it on, and they got to get out.
Yeah.
It's a really weird book in that, in parts, it, picture like a prison drama, and it's, you know, kind of dark and semi-realistic, even though we're talking about dogs and cats. And then all of a sudden it gets very cartoony and happy and just overly exaggerated in parts. It's like, you know, this dog is essentially, I don't want to say schizophrenic, but almost like he is. He just goes into this fantasy world where everything's going to be okay.
He's kind of, it's almost like when I read that he was more like he was in shock of the situation. So he's trying to make the best out of it.
Yeah, I guess that would be.
But his brain's taking it into this where he feels comfortable of being in this like cartoony like world.
Yeah.
That's from like an old,
almost like an old Looney Warner Tunes, Brothers,
but like more of a maybe a before like they did Looney Tunes or even like Steamboat Willie, you know, where it's kind of everything is whistling,
but exaggerated,
and
super exaggerated coloring though.
Like when in Roger Rabbit when he went into Toontown.
Almost,
like when he was driving into it, everybody's singing and the sun's dancing.
Yeah. That's actually a good parallel to it. it's been a decent book, but it's really weird. Not bad, just weird. Next one, guys, Last Contract, which this was the third of four. So what's going on with this is... this mafia guy is being blackmailed, and rather, you know, than trying to figure out who's doing it, he decides he's going to kill anybody that's ever had a contract with him and anyone that's, you know, basically related to them to make sure he got the guy that's blackmailing him. And this old man was one of the ones that you know, were going to be hit. Well, at this point, he's captured, well, at first he kidnapped, but he's not really kidnapping the son of one of the guys that had done hits to see if maybe he has the information that the guy is looking, that the mafia guy is looking for, you know, to kind of sort all this out. And then the last issue, they get to a hotel, or basically a motel, and they get ambushed by another hitman, or hit woman in this case, trying to kill them. So this woman was one that the old man had worked with several times. And yeah, he's able to stop her. He doesn't kill her, but he's able to stop her. But in the meantime, this kid that he's with had been kidnapped by the mafia. Basically they want to find out what he knows. And so the old man, you know, calls the mafia guy knowing that he has the kid and, you know, basically says, let's just end this, you know, and you know, I'll meet you wherever. And that's where it ends. I really like the first issue. But I think there's been a decline in quality. It's not a bad story necessarily, but there's not a lot to it either. I not that it's filler, but it just, it doesn't flow as well. Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yep, I read that.
I like that.
Yep.
I especially like the interaction with Batman and Raph.
Yes.
Because at the very beginning, they're... Mikey is skateboarding in the house, and Leo and Batman are sparring. Donnie is, I forget what he's looking at, but he's looking at, I think, like Batman's old crime files or whatever.
He's working on the computer. He kept looking through the video that was recorded that night when they were fighting the Foot Clan and all that.
Yeah, and how the Mad Hatter.
His cow was able to record three-dimensional like video and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And Raph basically flips out, like, we're all going to die, and you know, you're just partying, and, you know, he's supposed to be helping, he's no help. So, you know, Raph takes off and leaves pouting, because that's what he does.
Yeah.
And then Bruce, you know, gets him and takes him to Crime Alley.
Well, he kind of smarts off Bruce, where he's just like, you're just a rich guy who's just wanting to get his adrenaline fixed.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has no idea about it, because he's just spouting this off as he goes. And, he leaves.
Yeah.
And wants to go figure it out. And, yeah, it was just Batman catches up with him, and it just, that scene, they did a really good job. And sometimes, if they didn't do it right, it could have came off kind of cheesy. They did. Like,
no,
it wasn't at all.
Absolutely,
it
is genuine, and you know, this is what happened when I was 8 years old. My parents were gunned down in front of me. That's why I do what I do, and it totally turned to
just how he
understanding.
Did. He didn't come and just be like, "You listen here, you don't understand how it is." He was just like, "You know, yes, I do," and you know, and Raph apologizes, and
then they go off to a disturbance, and we find out it was Casey Jones.
Yeah.
Somehow coming in from the other universe, but with mutagen that got stolen from him by the Foot Clan, and then we see at the end Shredder and Ra's al Ghul headed to Arkham.
Yeah, and that's kind of their plan. What's cool is we were finally introduced in this series to the Joker. He hadn't been in that at all.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was. I thought they did a really good job with the Joker.
To me, it looked a lot. It was a very stylized version of the Joker.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Almost like the Batman Europa.
Yes. Yeah, very much
so. Long face, yeah. Very...
Every once in a while they do that long
scratchy.
Nose. Yeah.
But I thought it was good.
I just thought it just had a good sound to him. I was just like, this series, IDW is killing this crossover with DC stuff. It's just, the last one of Star Trek was just really fun. Mm-hmm. This has been really fun. I want to see who they cross over next. You know, just to see what they'll do. Because it
this
has.
This is the third one they've done, right? Because first was Rocketeer Spirit.
Yes.
And then, yes. Yeah,
I keep thinking there's another, but I don't think there is.
Rocketeer Spirit.
Yeah, Spirit and Rocketeer.
Rocketeer was Marvel, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, no, it was Disney. Okay, yeah, okay. I was thinking, because I was like, well, but that was a Disney movie, so, okay. And then the last one
The movie was based on the comic.
Yeah, that was before that.
Okay.
Yeah, the comic came first.
I think the comic was a Dark Horse.
Okay.
I think you're right. I think it was Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the last one was Batman and Robin Eternal. I thought it was okay, but it wasn't great.
No, it didn't really move a whole lot forward.
No, and that's a shame because there's only four issues or three.
I think all this issue did was kind of structure their end game, how they're going to go and, you know, finally go after her. And by, you know, we need to organize, we need to get a team going, and that's all it really showed. I think it's hard to explain this issue because not a lot happened, but a lot of the same thing kind of happened in this issue. So,
yeah.
What do you think of the art in this issue?
I thought that Jason Todd in a few places was kind of off.
Yeah, I did too.
And I get that, you know, depending upon who's drawing his mask, it looks
I didn't think it was bad as it has been.
No.
But yeah, it was a little
off.
Better than it has been a lot, yeah.
It was a different artist this week, I think.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure.
Because most of it was okay. It was just, and I think it was more the mask on Red Hood that kind of bothered me, but yeah. Not horrible. I did like the stuff with, who was it, Harper, and he said, was it Harper? With Scarecrow?
No, spoiler.
Okay, yes. And he was, you know, he basically threatened to just let her go and give her a gun.
Yeah.
So I like
it
that.
Was, yeah.
But there were stuff in there. It was like a voicemail messages that we were hearing between Harper and Cullen.
Yeah.
Something's
gonna happen to one of these two characters.
Yeah.
I just can't see, like, either one's not gonna survive or one's not gonna do or one's gonna become something. More like I don't know. I think she might just stay as Bluebird, but something has to happen.
Well, Cullen was hanging out with Midnighter.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he was showing that he had some skills too. So that might, you know, he might take off the.
They need to reintroduce an Oracle into this universe, and you know, it would be nice if they did have somebody on the intercom, and it, you know, even if it's a male character now or whatever. Try something out, you know, with these. Don't just create these characters and have them floating around out there and disappearing.
Unless that becomes Julia Pennyworth.
And that could possibly become that. But, you know, that's another character that's just like, she's been in stuff because she was leading that whole thing, but what are you going to do with her afterwards? You know, what are you going to do? Like, Harper was gone for a while until they finally did this Batman Eternal.
Well, I mean, before,
and then her brother just disappeared.
Before the super heavy stuff, she was kind of Batman's partner almost
for a little bit.
Like she was going out to those sites, the weapons caches, and
yeah.
Who was that one?
Cave.
Julia.
Julia. Yeah, yeah, Julia was doing that. That's right.
She was kind of like his Robin, but not really.
Yeah.
And again, you haven't seen a lot going on because of Batman not being there, you know. So she's been helping.
Back Gordon.
She's been there, like not Mole, but. whatever she is.
But. Yeah, well, and that's just it. I think that she's collecting information as much as working for them.
Yeah. I like the character, though. I kind of liked her in Batman Eternal.
Actually, that was something else I heard. Apparently, Warner Brothers is looking to do a show called Pennyworth.
Yeah, spinoff.
But they haven't said whether it's going to be Alfred or possibly Julia or whatever.
The name.
Yeah.
As something, so.
I mean, the idea of a young Alfred could be okay, but it's at some point in time, like, we don't need more prequels. Because he would just end up being some generic, you know, special forces guy.
And I don't
who
think
happens
they,
to become a butler.
Yeah,
I don't think they have a
under
handle.
Under siege, that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't think they have a handle on Gotham, necessarily, because I think they're just kind of like, now just throwing villains at us. You know, from all over. Oh, guess we're another Batman villain out. You know, and that's what they're doing.
It gets to the point where they have to time jump this show.
They're
or it's
not going to. And they're not.
But it doesn't make, like,
the last
they, all these guys are around then.
You will never see Batman in the show.
I understand that.
Certain villains that they use work. Like, I've said that before. Like, if we had a Killer Croc story in there, do a Killer Croc story. You know?
Because that's more of an urban legend anyway.
Even Scarecrow. The Scarecrow story worked. Because you could tell Scarecrow of where, you know, because he was a younger character. There was stuff done to him to become that.
Yeah.
Freeze, kind of.
He would be middle-aged, so give it 10, 15 years.
Joker,
and
they should
have
left alone.
Joker, they should have left alone. I'm okay with Penguin. That kind of makes sense timeline-wise. Riddler does not make sense.
No, not age-wise.
Yeah, I mean, so. But at the same time, guy
gets into the role.
Oh yeah.
So, but other than that, no,
but here's the thing: if Gordon and GCPD can take care of all these problems,
there's no point.
You don't need Batman.
Yeah.
One,
I think that's what.
And two, it also interrupts the whole dynamic of is Batman necessary because of these people, or do these people show up because of Batman?
There has to be a point in the show where Gordon just totally loses control.
Right.
That's where that, and then it would become a little more real, because then you'd be like, okay, the there now there's a reason for Batman.
We have a Jim Gordon that's willing to take things to the extreme.
Yeah.
To the way extreme.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. Gordon, when Gordon killed what's-his-face?
Galavant.
Azrael. That's who he's going to end up being. But when he killed Galavant, that was too far. Gordon would not have done that.
Yeah.
And
Gordon is, for all intents and purposes, our Batman.
Yeah.
And even then, too extreme.
Yeah.
The last few episodes that Colin had on the TV, which I watched, I'm a little behind on that show, but he watched his last few, and the stuff going on with Bruce looking for his parents' killer, it got kind of interesting. But stuff got really weird in it, too.
Yeah.
And it was just like, where, you know, what, like the stuff with Galavant.
Well, yeah, no, he's part of the Order of Saint-Dumas,
which
means he's Azrael.
Yeah.
They haven't called him that yet, but that's who he's going to be.
Yeah. And they're just twisting on things all around. It just, I don't know. But anyways. Yeah, I don't know what they'll do.
So, that's what I read.
That's what you read? First one, I'm going to talk about mine are all in alphabetical order because I type it from his list on the thing. The first one I read was Adventure Time. Adventure Time had its 50th issue, which I think this might be one of their longer-running series that they have right now. Because they originally had a lot of the... Were they the ones that had the Disney books for a while?
Yeah.
They would have had a lot of those.
Don't they still...
That's a Boom book, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't they still have Uncle Scrooge and...
No, IDW.
Oh, okay.
I think they did have
the Disney books.
And then they lost it because that's what the Marvel buyout happened, and then the IDW got it, so Marvel didn't even do anything with it.
Yeah.
But Adventure Time 50 was kind of a... It was almost kind of like a one-shot where you were seeing the character Finn gets trapped in a book that basically shows him his reincarnated selves, and then not anywhere into the future, just in the past. So he acts out all of these reincarnations, and they kind of show you a little bit of the past of the planet, which is, it's Earth, but in this story after their apocalypse, they call it Ooh. But the reincarnations were kind of weird because even like one of them is like a meteorite, and then the meteorite at some time hits a planet, and the planet, you know, has a big hole in it in this story. So you don't know if there's something to that, that they're writing in. The thing about – the interesting thing about this Adventure Time story is, yes, it's a kid's book. But what's cool about it is they made this weird – like really in-depth mythology behind it, which is really cool. And it just gives you something to look at that you're – you know, you got kids who watch this show and they're just looking at it and they find it fun and funny to watch. But in this, you're just looking at it and you're like, there's a whole past of this world – and this whole apocalypse, and it gets really dark sometimes in the story. So it's just, it's a really good comic. I really recommend it. I like to watch the cartoon show. It's a good series, but both of these, the book and the cartoon, really interrelate to each other. They seem like they're the same thing, where sometimes kids' books don't translate well into comics. One I've always said is Simpsons. Simpsons does not translate very well as... You read that, it's toned down a little bit for kids, the comic is, where the show is straight out how it's always been. But I really do, I recommend Adventure Time. They put a lot of good artists onto this story. They have a lot of good backup stories that are done by independent artists and stuff like that, who try to, you know, make a creative story and fun story, and sometimes they're just really well done. The next one I just actually got to finish was Amazing Spider-Man number 9. This story was about Nick Fury and Spider-Man teaming up. This is the new Nick Fury teaming up to take out S.H.I.E.L.D. satellites that Zodiac is using. In order, they were using them to locate an object made of a certain type of metal on the planet. So they were able to program the satellite, reprogram the S.H.I.E.L.D. satellite in order to find this particular object and find it really quick. And they're able to do that. They're able to stop the satellites. Scorpio in this, a lot of weird humor in this book. That's my biggest problem right now with not only Marvel, but Dan Slott isn't funny. And I wish somebody would just tell him that. This is the second Marvel book I might.
Go to Twitter.
I can. I've been blocked before by any comic book people. But because of this. This is the second book that they've put Uga Chaka into the book and wrote it into there as it's playing on a radio. It's not funny. It was fun. When they did it in Guardians of the Galaxy, you can't rewrite it and be like, oh, that's funny because I did it this time. It's not. But yeah, his rocket ship as he was going was playing certain songs. One was Space Oddity. The other one was...
Space Oddity,
I'm sorry. The other one was...
Rocket Man.
Yeah, because I was telling Pat about this earlier on. And I was like, okay with that. And then... they did that. It was stupid. Just a lot of weird jokes.
I don't think most people know that song's called Space Oddity.
I did. I just, in that case, I called it the movie name.
Okay. And they might not, but I know what it is.
No, I mean, no, I just said it. I think like, that's a song where I think it often gets called something
different. Major Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually it's...
Major Tom is actually a different song, though. That's actually the one that was in German, and it got translated. It's... I forget. Peter something did that one. Not David Bowie. But it's like an unofficial sequel.
I didn't know that. Huh. You were a wealth of knowledge sometimes.
That's why he does Pat's name.
I got all kinds of useless knowledge. It's never got me anything.
But it's not useless. It was needed right now. We needed that. But yeah, just weird, not funny moments. Scorpio was doing a thing where he was just like, he had these the characters were Gemini. They're both twins, obviously. But they were very frantic. Like, they were all over the place. Like, oh, what are we doing? You know, Spider-Man is doing this. And at one point, they were looking at the screen.
Were they doing that with their hands,
too? In shock, yes. They were moving around a lot. And Spider-Man was in shock, or they were in shock at seeing something on the camera that Spider-Man was doing, and he looked at him, he was like, "Don't quit doing that, you're creeping me out," or something. I was like, this villain is not going to say things like this. Just weird how it's written.
You're not very villainy.
Yeah, he's just like, okay, he's, you know. It's just weird. Spider-Man, in order to get back to Earth, because he destroys his rocket, he has Nick Fury go back to the International Space Station and do a spacewalk there. But Spider-Man decides to dive down to the planet and then use his webbing in order to not get incinerated.
How does that work?
I wouldn't see it working, but it worked for him. He ended up on the planet where then Scorpio meets him somehow. Able to find it very quickly.
Did he encase himself as a heat shield?
He did many, many things. First, he used, like, parachutes behind him to slow him down. Then, he used, like, a dome in front of him to block himself from all the heat. Then, he encased himself into the webbing and then landed in France like a meteorite. And he was on fire, too. And he was just like, I hope everybody's okay. I'm like, God, I hope they are, too, because you didn't think this out. And then,
dumb.
It was. It just...
It just, you said this before, but it just doesn't sound like Spider-Man.
It doesn't.
To me,
it just doesn't sound like
him in a rocket ship hurling to the center of the Earth. Or
yeah, it
yeah,
just
that's not
it
a,
doesn't.
That's not a bat or a Spider-Man thing.
There's more things being cued about, like,
I mean,
Doc Ock as being he's the robot. He's in the robot's body. He figures out that Anna Marie is having, like, some sort of relationship with a guy that she's working with, and this is very upsetting to him. So the robot kind of loses it, and they're like, his speech is weird. What's going on? But Scorpio meets him somewhere, Spider-Man in Paris, Dang. After he lands, shoots him with the thing.
Weak.
It's just a really... I don't know where they're going with this book. I really don't.
It's not compute.
The worst part is every Lame. Time he says Scorpio, yeah. I just think of Hank Scorpio from The Simpsons.
Yeah. Another one I just read, was able to finish was, Constantine the Hellblazer, number 10. Did you read that?
Mm-hmm.
He, in the last issue, Constantine is, it seemed like he was betrayed in the last issue and sent in a portal, another portal to somewhere. He thought he was going back to Earth, but he didn't. He tried to take the portal himself. He kind of betrays them, but in a way, he's betrayed in the end. And he ends up on, it was Fairy?
Fairy, yeah.
And they talk about it as Fairy being, like, a worse place than any place because there's no rules to it at all.
It's just so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, at the beginning of this issue, like, I felt so bad. Like, there's this unicorn he's drinking out of this water, and he gets his throat slashed by a fairy, and
rainbow
blood comes out. But it was the part where he's laying there, and, like, he's dead, but there's a tear going down his eye. And I was just like, this is, like, the saddest thing ever.
And the fairies cover themselves with the rainbow.
Yeah, and they dance, and it was weird. But...
That wasn't a crossover with My Little Pony, was
That would be awesome.
It was. That was Twilight Sparkle.
That was Twilight Sparkle.
Well, wait a second, though. IDW has My Little Pony.
Oh, that's the next crossover.
Maybe
Constantine My Little Pony.
Man, that would be great. A Constantine My Little Pony crossover.
I don't read either one of those books, and I would absolutely read
that.
That
would be so effed up. Yeah. That's great.
Wow, that is. That's awesome. He's able to, he's found out that he's on the planet, in this dimension, and he convinces, like, one of the fairies to take him back because he knows of, like, a world where she just love all the, because they're engulfed, but, like, their big thing is pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's their big thing. And then he's like, well, here, you can have that. So he takes her there, distracts her, and then just breaks her neck. And he's back on Earth. That's how he gets back. And he's just, I loved it how he's just like, if you make a deal with a fairy, it doesn't mean anything. If you make a deal with a demon, that's another story. And he did. He made a deal with what's-her-name. But the thing I kept thinking about, she betrayed him. Because that's how he got to that fairy place to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that contract is void, but I don't know how demon contracts work. So
yeah, I don't know.
I'd have to have a demon lawyer, which I guess is all lawyers.
Even Colin?
Colin's not a lawyer anymore.
Once a lawyer, always a lawyer.
Is that true?
What?
Once a lawyer, always a lawyer.
How do you become not a demon anymore?
That's true. These are all good questions. But he goes back to save... What is the guy's name? Oliver.
Yeah, Oliver. The dude.
And he's still being...
The dude with the rooster.
Rooster constrictor is what he called it. And he saves him, and the guy is, like, unaware, like, he's aware of what happened, but he's just unaffected by it.
Yeah, he seems way more
calm
about all this than he should be.
And that kind of upsets John. And he's just like,
it just throws him off, and then,
well, he doesn't want to hurt anybody.
Is what set him off.
Yeah,
when he that's found really this what dude it was. Had kids.
But I think a little bit of both, though. I think it was the kids, and I think he was just like, "Why is this not affecting you?" Because he did. He gets into an argument, and he's just like, "You just had this happening to you. Why is this?" And but the kid thing really set him off with this whole thing, and. It's kind of interesting seeing John Constantine like this because John Constantine doesn't care about anybody but John Constantine.
Yeah.
In this case, he's actually like, no, I don't want to do this. So it was good. I've liked this series. I really have. I know it's getting a new number one. This is one of them. But I hope they continue this kind of thing.
This has been a really good book.
It's just, I love the creative team.
This had a different artist for this issue. It was Travel Foreman. Instead of Riley Rossmo.
Yeah.
But it still looked good. The stuff in Fairy looked phenomenal.
Yeah. Even like we were talking about, we're joking aside with the rainbow blood, but seeing like it on it and it was watercolored onto the neck afterwards, it was just, it looked really nice. talking about this poor unicorn. But it's a really good series.
Almost looked like a blood orgy, a rainbow blood orgy was about to start.
Well, they kept mentioning orgies throughout this whole planet. That was their word.
Word.
Earth 2 Society, number 10. I've liked this book. I liked it, Earth 2, better, but this book has still been really good. This one starts off with Red Arrow. Ted Grant and Dick Grayson, Batman, investigating a certain company who's been, you know, doing things. There's some sort of chemicals that they're selling, something that's just not right that they're doing. He's looking into that. Everybody else, all the other Wonders are having a meeting talking about what, the events going on in the planet. Like in the last issue, they dealt with, it turns out there's no resources within the planet, no coal, no oil, nothing. So they don't really have energy. And they're trying to figure out alternatives. There's also this thing where people are rebelling against the Wonders, that they don't want them. One of them is Martha Kent, who in the previous Earth 2 series, Superman, when he comes back as, who did he come back as? He was a certain character, and I forget. But basically, he came back as a henchman, basically, of Darkseid. And he kills Jonathan Kent with his heat vision. And Martha understood that this wasn't really him, but was just like, they do whatever they want. She's kind of leading this whole thing, that they don't want them there. And Val Zod, who is now Superman, decides, you know what, I don't want to be this either, because I don't want to be a symbol of something like this. So he quits being Superman, and he gives him the S, which I guess when you retire as Superman, you have to rip the S off of your shirt and hand it away. here's my badge.
Does that mean Christopher Reeve gave none?
Yes, no. That's a cellophane S. It's different. As long as your S is still there, you're still there.
Okay.
You can use layers of it. It comes off in a layer.
Oh, it's like an onion.
Yes, exactly. Just like an onion. but
Val Zod has layers. Yeah. Onions have layers.
Exactly. But they're dealing with that. And then Hot Girl is called Amazonia or something like that. It's basically, Fury, who is the daughter of Wonder Woman and Steppenwolf, has restarted the Amazons, and she's planning on doing something. You just don't know what.
How do you restart them? There was only one to begin with.
Yeah.
The math on that doesn't work.
Basically, there's some way that they're able to do this where they're able to train
life
them or something
finds
like
a way.
That. Yeah, life finds a way. That's Josh's line. Here's a Jurassic Park line. It turns out later on that you figure out that not only is Fury leading this, but she's making a deal with the Queen of Atlantis. And they're up to something. You just don't know what. And also, you figure out that Dick Grayson is trying to stop this president of this company who's doing stuff with a bunch of chemicals. You figure out that this guy might be a wonder as well. And not only that, he has Hourman working for him, and he's controlling him. And Hourman's just upset because of the situation dealing with Wayne Enterprises using the drug that he took, the Miracle. It's kind of like that. It's the same thing, but it has a variation.
It's the one that Thomas Wayne was taking.
Yes. Yeah. So he's upset about that, but he's also being controlled by this guy. So there's a lot of, like, antagonists all of a sudden building up on this planet that just started. So I've liked it. It's been a fun book. Some of the art I'm not too fond of because it's a little too cartoony sometimes. But it's still a fun read, and I recommend it highly. So, and that's it. That's all I've read.
So, what's coming out next week, Adam?
Well,
Junior Shopkeeping.
I have a list here that Colin left. Next week, we have All New, All Different Avengers number 7, All New Hawkeye number 5, Angela Queen of Hell number 6, Assassin's Creed Templars number 1, Badger 2, Batman number 50 is coming out. Batman and Robin Eternal number 25. I think also, like, his damages are coming in that, but I don't know for sure. Bloodshot Reborn Annual number 2 or for 2006 number 1.
2006?
I'm sorry. 2016. I got thrown by the date cuz I wasn't expecting a date onto that. Carnage number 6, Circuit Breaker number 1. Cry Havoc number 3, Cyborg number 9. Is anybody still reading that?
Uh-uh.
I know you got started reading that.
I started to. I just didn't like it. It wasn't for me.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. It was just, it was ho-hum.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much about it.
Because we stopped reading it.
Yeah, everybody stopped reading it. That's why. I haven't heard anybody else but you guys, I think, who were talking about it originally. Delete number 1. Doctor Who, Fourth Doctor, number 1. Dr. Mirage, Second Lives, number 4. Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, number 1. Revenge of Hitler. So that's interesting.
Man.
Yikes. G.I. Joe, Deviations, One Shot. Yeah. Grayson, number 18. This is one that me and Josh, like, are you reading it? Grayson? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Grayson's been good. Harley Quinn number 26, Hyperion number 1. So
the book everyone's been waiting for,
pretty much. Independence Day number 1.
So, is it for the new Independence Day or the old one?
I'm not sure. It has a cover. Resurgence? It has a movie cover. So yeah, I'm not sure. It would be weird if it wasn't. It would be cool if it was like a prequel, the time in between there.
Should be what happens in between the movies a little bit, but
yeah.
This is a cool one. Clues.
Dave.
Number 4 of that. Marvel Lady Deadpool. What's the name of the statue? Are you familiar with that?
Bishajuo.
There we go. It's a statue.
Bishaujo. Japanese.
It's Japanese. Colin would be able to pronounce it. He's probably making fun of us, but whatever. I can live with that. Mirror number 2, New Avengers.
He doesn't highlight the hard stuff.
That's right. New Avengers number 8, Obi-Wan and Anakin number 3, which I've kind of liked that book. Patsy Walker, a.k.a. Hellcat, number 4. Ringside, number 5. I've really liked this book. Rocketeer at War, number 2. Secret 6, number 12.
Wait, Rocketeer at War, number 2? Finally,
yeah.
Number 1 came out in December.
Well, I didn't hear about a Rocketeer book for a while.
I thought I missed it at some point. It was driving me nuts.
Well, here it is. Of 4. So there's 4 issues of it. Secret 6, number 12.
So you get the next one around Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Secret Wars hardcover is coming out. So New in case any of you missed Secret War, the hardcover will be coming out.
Oh, Trevor, we didn't miss it. That's like a $50 hardcover, too.
It's inexpensive.
It's so good, you want to read it again.
Snowfall, number 2. Star Wars, number 17. I feel like I haven't read a Star Wars book for a while. Superman, yeah. Lois and Clark, number 6. Josh, you're reading that, right?
I am.
I am.
I want to read it. I want to read that. I want to read American Alien.
I want to read that, too.
I'm waiting for those as trades, though. Well, who knows when they're coming out?
He doesn't have number 1. That's why I didn't...
That you have to wait.
Yeah, that's why I got to wait for trade.
eBay. Which is the secret word.
Venus, number 4.
That's the last one of that.
Okay.
I think. I think it was 4-part.
Yeah, it doesn't say on here. Of. We Are Robin, number 10. Wonder Woman, number 50. X-Men, Worst X-Man Ever, number 2.
The answer is Gold Balls.
Yeah, that's pretty well it. Exo-Manowar, number 45. And that's it for next week. Of the highlights that Colin made.
Now, if you want to find Colin to yell at him or to tell him who are you so you can get...
Come in personally and yell at him.
Yeah.
Just look at him and point your finger out and be like, you.
Rah, 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 rah.
And that's how you do it. But where can they find him? On the internet, maybe?
They can find him on the internet. If they,
wow.
If they are a fan of the Twitter, they can find him at PGH Comics. If there are Facebook folks, they can find him at Pittsburgh Comics, /Pittsburgh Comics. His website, www.pittsburghcomics.com. And his Instagram, I don't remember what it is.
I think it's PGH Comics.
There's a link from the website.
Yeah, I think it's PGH Comics. Yeah.
You can email Colin at colin@pittsburghcomics. If you have a podcast question... Oh, we had a question, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, but we didn't. There was no name on the email.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to talk to it unless I asked him first of who it was.
Because whoever submitted the podcast question, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
But if you have a podcast question, you can submit it just by sending an email to colin@pittsburghcomics or through Facebook or Twitter.
Or you can come in here and ask.
You can put a comment on a podcast page. You can go to the podcast question submission thing and submit a question. It'll give you an error, possibly, but if you can ignore that,
come to the podcast and ask us in person.
You can always do that, too.
And if you feel so inclined, go into iTunes and rate the podcast because it helps with visibility, good rating or bad rating. Mm-hmm. If it's a bad rating, leave a comment. Let us know what we did wrong to offend you.
Okay. I think the Pee-wee Herman tirade is going to...
Podcast gold.
I like how we've had that Pee Wee Herman like rant going on for a little while, and then we also had a secret word today.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be the title of the
Don't
podcast.
Tell him about the Pee Wee Herman rant or discussion. See if he says something on his own.
I want him to title it the secret word or something to that effect, but yeah. We'll come up with that later. Also,
talk about the sales.
Again. Yeah.
Alphabet sale and the all-month long Batman Superman double point sale.
Yep.
And we're not going to repeat the secret word again. Nope. But
you got to go through the podcast and listen again.
If you were listening the whole time, you would have heard if you just fast-forward to the end thinking we were going to do it that way. Ha! You have to listen. There's no secret word here.
Yeah.
But if you do find the secret word, it gets you double points on action figures.
The podcast is better the second time around. I doubt it.
there's a lot of nuances you missed.
I mean, you can ask Colin. He had to listen to it again to pick out Pat's word.
Yeah, that way you can edit Pat out.
My secret word.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Should have made that the secret word just to miss it.
And also the podcast. He hasn't mentioned this for a while, but the podcast is open for anybody that can come down and...
Yeah,
and participate.
Yeah,
so
we have bigger tables. We have more chairs.
Yeah, we can make it work.
And we only make fun of Colin, not new people that come
no,
in.
No, no, no. And you will become one of us. So
I don't know if that's a positive. But one of us.
They're like, yeah, we pass. Thank you. But no, there's always we can always make it work to have a chair open for anybody who's willing to
Absolutely.
Participate and join it. And it's not that difficult as long as you know. I mean, really, you don't have to read comics sometimes, but if you want to join in. And...
Anything. Just any sort of comic or TV conversation, we're flexible with the topics.
Yeah.
And also, we are beyond the halfway point of the month, so start thinking about your previews orders.
Yeah.
Because those are going to be coming up due in
probably
a couple weeks.
Next week.
Yeah, so get that squared away and let Colin know. Don't wait the last minute. Don't
it
be
actually
bad.
Will be next week.
Will it?
Yeah, because next Friday is
the 25th. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So there's going to be a new next week, so you better get on it. Better think about it.
Yeah, let him know exactly what you want. That way he can make sure that you get it in.
Yeah.
So.
Because a lot of that stuff, like statues, toys, once the order is due, he generally can't get those.
Yeah.
Again.
So, and make sure that you have a copy of any book that you're wanting.
Yeah. And if there's a comic coming out that you're interested in, don't just assume that Collins would have them on the shelves. Let him know. Have him pre-order for you. Subscribe to it, because
we've all been in that assumed position.
It's a guessing game for him, as he likes to always tell us. So help him out. Let him know if you're interested, and he'll make sure he has enough copies on the shelf so you don't have to come in and yell at him for not planning properly.
And the other works for you because
second cop or second printings of Claws because you forgot to tell them.
Yeah. Help Colin.
It'll usually guarantee you a copy of what you're wanting. So yeah.
It will guarantee you a copy.
Yeah. If it's damaged, you get a copy after. It's not his fault. Yeah.
You still get a copy. Just
hopefully. I mean, if they only did first printings and all of them are damaged, then he only gets like half of his order in.
And if the store blows up, you're talking about a bunch of.
No, it's possible. I'll tell you about it. But other than that, I think we're good.
If you have a legitimate defense for Battle of the Atom,
send
an email. We want to hear it. Seriously,
we won't be jerks about it.
No.
We will read it. We'll discuss it. But yeah,
I like hearing other people's theories about what books. You know, if you didn't like it, and they're just like, no, but you didn't get like this.
Someone had to like it.
There had to be somebody who could explain it. Sometimes it might change your mind.
But Bendis' mom is not allowed to write.
No, Bendis' mom.
You're allowed to write it, Mrs. Bendis.
It's just Bendis and a wig.
that's a scary picture.
I'm just thinking it's like Psycho.
I dare call to name the podcast that.
Bendis and a wig. That might be a better name. But other than that, Dave, do you want me to say it?
He opened.
He opened. You got to close.
All right, that's a podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.